Welcome to the Chasing Tomorrow podcast, episode 144. Today, it's going to just be Joe and myself, and we're going to jump into talking a little bit about health span. Now, health span is different than lifespan. Lifespan is much easier to define because it's simply how long are you going to live and at what age you die, whereas health span specifically refers to the length that you live in good health, so free from chronic illness and disabilities of aging. And really, the health span is just going to be defined how long are you healthy. So you're looking at quality of life, not the quantity of life. So we're going to dive into that. It's been a topic that has become more and more popular. There's a lot of people out there that are promoting products that say they can let you live a longer, healthier life. And we're going to talk about some of those as well. So, Joe, how are you today? Happy Friday. It's going to be a beautiful holiday weekend, and it's good to see you.
Yeah, Don, same here. Yeah, what a topic. You know, the setup, like why now? Why are we talking about health span? You know, if we go back to 1900, you know, expected life was 50 years. Now it's, you know, in the 70 years, it's common to know people who are living 90 years. So kids who are born now might live 120 years. So we have a very different sort of, you know, sort of life expectancy. And so then the second thing is that we know that really the majority of the cost of the health system is either in the last 18 months of your life when we're trying to keep you alive for a little bit longer, or in the last 10 or 20 years of your life when you're starting to get these chronic illnesses and when we're now trying to maintain some form of health, but really we're actually just trying to stop being sick. And so it is very temporal because the world's changed. We are all living longer. And so now you have to consider, look, if you only made it to 50, sort of wasn't that much to think about because, you know, by the time you were there, you had kids, you worked for a while, and then 6 feet under. So I do think that it's going to be a highly contemporary topic for the foreseeable future. You know, the other thing to think about is that the reason why we're talking about it now also is that we're probably more capable of doing something about it now than we were. Our level of knowledge and awareness, the impact that our decisions make, the choices in how we live, whether it's exercise or nutrition, we know more. We're actually getting to a point, you know this from Aura, that we can actually measure different activities like sleep or measure heart rate or use the Inside Tracker to measure, you know, so the metabolites in our blood. So we're getting better measurement. We're going to live longer. We have a higher sense of understanding of what matters. And so then the question is, what do we do about that?
Yeah, it's interesting because it is a field of research that seems to just in the past 5 years have totally exploded. And it goes back to the, like you said, with Aura and things like that. If you can track it, you can change it. And before, I think people could track their own sleep and you could journal it, but that's a data set. It's an N of one. And now we're able to actually have these massive, massive data sets that we can start saying, hey, if you sleep more, you might live longer. And because we have millions and millions of data points that say that. So it's really interesting, the evolution of available data with now this area of research. And add in the element of AI, which is starting to be able to look through those data sets and make recommendations at a higher level with products and things like that. You're hitting this like perfect intersection of availability, interest, and results that people are starting to take and change their daily lives from.
Yeah, I think so. You completely right. The other element that we should definitely throw out there is that I think we've never really said, like, what would I have to do different to actually have a longer health span? You know, is there something I would be doing when I'm 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60? Or do I start thinking about it when I turn 65 and get on Medicare? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, I wonder if I should start walking around the block. are there decisions we should be making earlier in our lives if health span yep. mattered, right? Not just lifespan. Now, I don't want to just live to 90. I want mm-hmm. the time from 70 to 90 to be highly vibrant and vitality. Right. Maybe I want to keep playing pickleball or go to the grocery store like Peter Attia talks about and carry my bags up yep. 3 or 4 flights of stairs. So this is where it's interesting because we only used to think about it later. Now, what if we thought about it earlier? What would we do?
Yeah, it's almost like investing, right? Like if, exactly. if you invest a couple of bucks a week in your 20s, you have a lot less work you have to do when you're in your 70s to be able to live an amazing life. But that's if you right. don't, if you don't work out, if you don't take action, if you don't eat healthy, you're going to have to put in a lot more work in your 70s and 80s if you know, if you're still around, if you want to be mobile. It's the same idea. It's you're investing Absolutely. In health instead of finance.
I wrote about this just this past week. Make an investment, but mm-hmm. not with your money, but with how you live. So really interesting, Don. I think this is like, you know, hopefully our listeners, right? And by the way, we're never telling people how to live, right? This is just the choices that are open to us, right? That we can choose. But if you thought that health span mattered to you, then, and someone said that, you know, maybe you should start exercising when you're 40 and stop drinking alcohol because you'll be better when you're 75. Like, would people care about that? Mm-hmm. But I think we're getting to a point where we actually know that actually there is minimally correlation, if not causality, right? This yeah. isn't just an opinion anymore, that the activities now make a difference later. And we can't catch up because right. we cannot recover against the biology unless we actually meet it along the path of its natural decline. That's not a negative thing. It's just actual reality. We are going to all decline. We know that. That's fine. It's at what rate? And what do I do earlier? That's where this sort of like, if health span equaled lifespan, that would sort of mean that for every day that you lived in good health. That would be pretty amazing.
Right. Right. If we could all be so lucky, right? And it's finding out, okay, well, what does the research say that I can't guarantee 100% of my health span is going to match up with 100% of my lifespan, but there are things that I can do every single day, even in my 30s now, that can ensure it better. And it's funny that as we talk about this more and more, I think back to like the last 10 years, I've seen so many things, so many advertisements from like facial moisturizer companies that are like, hey, if you want healthy skin, you need to start moisturizing in your late 20s and early 30s. Yeah. And nobody's out here marketing, like, or hasn't been like, hey, if you want to be active, if you want to be walking in your 80s, you should do this. It's funny how it's all a consumer product driven industry. It's like, that's the only time I've thought about it is like, hey, if I don't want wrinkles in my 40s, I better start moisturizing in my 20s. And it's the same idea. It's just funny how you put a consumer marketing department behind it and it's on people's minds a lot earlier than now. It's like general health. Who's marketing that? Well, nobody, because insurance companies are fighting against it. And that's a whole nother episode that I don't even want to get into right now. But there's definitely some hurdles that people later in their life have to overcome that don't necessarily need to be there that are unfortunately there.
Yeah, I think, look, you know, if we consume each of us less healthcare on a regular basis, then we have more resource to do two things. Mm-hmm. One, both to take care of people who actually do have some real need for care. And then secondly, we can work on how we improve how we live. You know, but we're pushing so much money, you know, over $4 trillion a year into actually just working on the sick, not yep. on the health. Right. I mean, I don't know. We call it health care, but we don't worry about the health. We worry about sick care. Correct. And so therefore, even if it wasn't for ourselves, it was for everyone else. You know, we don't want to see anyone have to suffer through what they suffer through. I mean, and you know, Don, you've worked on this for a while, but, you know, like the type 2 diabetes is a very avoidable circumstance.
Yep.
This is not the same as type 1, you know, which is a genetic situation. This is something that behaviorally we can change. And so when we do, we avoid a lot of the downsides. Mm-hmm. And that's just choice of life, right? Not anything else.
Yeah, it's so hard. I can only talk about myself and my experiences in healthcare, working for different companies and then looking at myself and say, I believe in data. I want to track my data and I want to optimize my life based on my health data. However, it's really expensive to do that. And the price and the barrier for entry into people getting the data they need to be actionable is really flipping hard. Like you said, it's sick care. It's reactive medicine. It's not proactive. From my standpoint, I like to get my blood drawn quarterly just because I'm pushing my body so hard. I want to know if something goes up or down. I want to be able to address it. Nobody's paying for that out of insurance. Like I have to pay for that either out of my pocket or I'm very lucky to have sponsors that are willing to help me out with that. But the average person doesn't have access to that type because it's so hard to get. And so I think the goal that I have in the healthcare industry is to get people more empowered with their own data, get them, whether it's an Oura ring or a watch or whatever, that they can learn from their trends, they can have access to blood draws so that they can be a little bit more proactive in their own treatments versus waiting for a doctor to have to be reactive.
Well, yeah, of course. Like, I think so the hardest part about any kind of transformation like this is that there's a lot of resistance for the reasons of, you know, both business and inertia that get in our way. But if we all were consuming less healthcare because we were making better choices, forget even having a blood draw, just exercise, eat a little better, you know, have a better mindset, we would start consuming less healthcare. If we do, there's more money available that we could leverage to then get someone to get that Oura ring or that blood drawn. Yep. You know, and so it's not that we don't have enough money being spent in the US on health or sick care. It's actually just how we're spending it that's upside down. And I think we all feel somewhat of a victim to the way that we live and we work and we, you know, exist, but we don't need to. We don't have to. And we're not, like, let's be clear. This isn't about telling people to run 10 miles a day. We're just actually, the guidance is more and more clear, right? Which is says that, you know, 150 minutes of just mobility a week, like walking, you know, playing pickleball. Like this is not hard activities, just not just only sitting, right? And then on the food side, you know, it's pretty simple. We, like the way I always thought about it was like there's 21 meals in the week if you eat three times a day. Like 17 of them, think about what you're eating. Have fun with four of them. Do whatever the heck you want. But like just like put it in the context of things that would make a difference but aren't hard to think about.
So I think in people listening, I spent some time working for Noom, the health dietary change company, and then went on to go to another company and work in AI and health coaching. And one of the things that I learned there for both of those companies is how little knowledge the average American has about diet. Like, I mean, talking to 60-year-old people that don't know the difference between a fat, a carb, a calorie, like any of that stuff. And so there's an inherent need for better education on just explaining this stuff. And this is, again, just to go back, it's the barrier to getting that is so hard. You go to a Noom and you can get that, but that's out of pocket. You go to a dietitian, you can get that, but that's out of pocket. It's not covered by insurance. Even on the exercise side, you want to do something good for yourself that's going to keep you from spending insurance dollars, like getting a personal trainer or going to the gym. You have to pay out of pocket. So I think it's like it's a system that's currently set up to fail people because they don't have the knowledge, they don't have the background, they're already out of shape and overweight or unhealthy, and all of those resources that they could work on, they have to pay for. And if you're talking about somebody that's already struggling to make rent or making their mortgage or have to worry about kids and things like that for food, the last thing they're going to do is spend more money to get a gym membership or do something like that. So I think maybe we're getting a little bit off topic with my rants here, but I'm just really passionate about the idea of figuring out a way, like if we want to increase health span of people, we need to increase availability and lower costs and barriers to access of things like a nutritionist or a dietitian or healthy gym access or a personal trainer, versus like, hey, if you're sick and you had a heart attack, they'll send you to the cardiologist. You could have a full heart surgery. But if you're sick and the recommendation is to eat more plants, well, that's going to be on you to pay for that dietitian. And I think that's challenging. And if we want to increase the health span of people, we need to increase the education of the benefits of those and the availability to access it.
Yeah. Yes. Like full stop, but that's got to be part of the strategy going forward. I think that, you know, in advance of that, I mean, look, probably most of the people listening to our podcast are already inclined, but might know people who are not. Invite them with you, you know, include them in what you know, help them learn faster, you know, join community groups, show up, be part of something, offer your time and your thoughts and your energy. Be a role model for how to live and and how to operate with health span as a mindset. Talk about it. Make it open. Let's not just fall prey to the fact that, yes, there are companies who, look, they have commercial interests in selling, you know, sugary cereals, for argument's sake, you know?
Yeah.
But we don't have to always be a victim to that. We might make small changes and try them and let them build over time. You know, if you don't go to the place that, I don't know, has fried chicken, if you don't want to eat that, like go somewhere else. Like, don't, like try not to put yourself in a situation where it's harder, put yourself in a situation where it's easier. And I think that that's just, it's a journey. Look, I think we got time. We have no shortage of time, really, at the end of the day. It doesn't happen in a week, a month, and a year. It's over the next 10 or 20 years. If we set ourselves on a path, we should be able to do something that we wouldn't have been able to do before. All of us started from the same spot. And so, you know, put on the positive side of this, that there's always this possibility.
Yeah, it's never too late. I mean, like you said, you have time, right? Changes don't happen overnight. You can be on the path to change, but don't expect to wake up tomorrow and, you know, increase your health span by 20 years. Just figure out one thing that you can do this week that, like, hey, maybe this will put me on the right path. And that's a lesson I think everybody can learn, whether it's health span, lifespan, work span, whatever span you want to define. It's something you can do that's probably low-hanging fruit that will improve your quality of life, your quality of work, your quality of whatever. And that's where I think we can go with this conversation now. So I want to shift it a little bit, Joe, and ask you, like, what are the opportunities that you see that exist for people to think about and to spend their time, money, resources, whatever, that could have immediate positive impacts? And by immediate, I'm not saying changing overnight, but immediate, that like if you start this, it'll start adding up. That what are those areas of opportunity for people to look into and to start adding to their life?
Well, I think that it's the categories of exercise, mindset, and nutrition. And you break them down into each of those and work to implement one change in each of them. Just one slight change, you know? And I think that if you don't have a good objective, I think you can define one. For example, imagine if you're older and you have grandchildren, you know, your objective is, I want to spend more time playing a game with them. I want to go hang out with them in the park. Like, we set objectives and we sort of can then have the motivation that the dopamine will provide us to do that. So one is step back, figure out what you want to do, and then line up how these three areas on nutrition, you know, it is well known and understood that, you know, we don't have to be vegetarian, but we should eat more vegetables, more colors on our plate, you know, green, blue, yellow, red. These things show that way for their health properties. On the exercise, you know, as simple as just setting out a goal to be active at least 20 minutes a day. You know, we have 24 hours, and if you need to just talk on the phone while you walk around the block, do that. You know, so that at least you're getting out there and doing it. And then on the mindset, I know that it can be hard. It's hard for all of us. You know, and sometimes it sounds like we've figured it out, but we've been through this journey. And, you know, in some sense, like, let's learn to love the struggle a little bit. And let's just get excited about the possibility. Like, oh my gosh, I can go out for a walk tomorrow. I can get outside. I can hear the birds. I can, you know, see a blue sky. Like, just reframe a lot. And then, you know, then the mindset, it starts to work in our favor, because really we get addicted to this in a good way. Like, we like that feeling. And the more we do it, the more self-reinforcing it becomes.
Yeah, it's as you were explaining that, I was thinking about different people, different products and things like that that we've seen. I'm sure a lot of people have seen them. And I immediately think of, like, Dave Asprey, who is and you go down that line and you think of biohacking. And I think it's almost to the point where biohacking is now, at least in my world, maybe like a negative terminology. It's like, you don't have to be a biohacker to want to live longer or live healthier and increase your health span. I think it's like, you don't have to walk around with the blue tongue like Dave Asprey does and ice bath every single day. I think those are things that do have some correlations with the health span, but it's not like you have to go out and be a consumer and buy things that are going to help you live longer. I think that's really important, is that technically increasing your health span is a completely free activity. If you think about it, like, it doesn't take an ice bath and drugs or over-the-counter herbs and all this other crap that's trying to be sold to you on Instagram these days that, you know, biohackers want to have. You can make a positive impact by doing a bunch of free stuff. Walk in the park, like you said, Joe, right? Spend more time outside, get the free vitamin D from the sun. There's countless research papers on the benefits of nature. Just being in nature, listening to the birds, will lower your cortisol. Those are free ways to increase your health span. I think this whole biohacking health span conversation gets wrapped up in consumerism and ways people are trying to benefit from it. And this is where I'm trying to say, I'm trying to get away from that. Get away from the store, get away from the insurance companies, take your own health and just say, hey, going outside for 20 minutes today is going to make me a healthier person. And it's going to potentially increase my health span. I think that's the challenge that I have right now, because it is so easy to look at Instagram or Facebook or whatever social media you have, that everywhere you go, it's somebody telling you that, hey, live your best life, go deep breathe and buy my book. It's like, well, no, like, go outside.
I think that, I'm sure people don't even know what biohacking means, but it could be that biohacking is just living your own version of your best life. So that's really biohacking. Yeah. You're running a system that actually has a lot of potential and we're not really leaning into it some days. You know, we leave a lot of it dormant. There's a lot of energy in our system that can help us be creative, active, thoughtful. You know, it can help us, you know, achieve objectives that we wouldn't think we could otherwise. So yeah, I think actually that just sort of starts with decisions that we make. You know, I always said my favorite blog post was, life doesn't come in a pill. Like, we are living here, and that's the way we should. So yeah, I think that the point, though, that I just would like to just keep reinforcing here is that if indeed this is in the consciousness because it's now possible, meaning we can live better, healthier, longer, then choice is that, is that what you want?
Yep.
If that's what you want, there are ways of getting that at every level, some of it free, some of it pay, some of it choice, but it is now open for any of us to reach into. And I think that's the exciting part of this. It will become even more relevant over time as we open up more avenues around how to make this happen more regularly.
All right, so we've been talking about health span for about 25 minutes now, and I'm gonna put you on the spot, and then I'll answer the same question. But what is something that you're willing to do starting today, Joe, that you know can be a positive for your health span?
Oh, well, I think, you know, probably sleep an extra half hour every day.
Yeah.
That would definitely, you know, make a difference, because in sleep, now I'm still probably not sleeping as much as some others, but every half hour improves the recovery of the system. So I think that would be one that I'm learning more and more is, you know, like I don't have to sleep 5 hours. I could sleep six.
Yep.
And still get a lot done, but get a lot more benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good one. Obviously it's near and dear to my heart. I work for a sleep company. I track my sleep is the only metric that I check every single day. For me, I'll answer the same question. And for me, it's read more. I realized over the past couple of years, I've started taking in so much more of my knowledge and stuff via screen, and like video and TV is kind of a lot of it. And I there's a ton of benefits of just reading for your brain. And so that's something that I want to do better at for my health span, for my mental health span, more importantly. I think there's a delineation between physical health span and mental health span. And I think I'm doing pretty good overall on the physical health span, but sometimes I neglect the mental health span when it comes to brain health and things that I'm doing to continue knowledge coming in. So that's my commitment is I'm going to start somewhere with just reading more and turning off the screen and stop trying to get my information via lit up screen and more via book.
Yeah. I think that the key, you know, to all of this is that, everybody said like having agency, you know, I mean, I'm in charge of what I do, who I am, what I become. And I think that's the strongest part of this theme. You know, none of us have to be a victim to the way that maybe the rest of the world might want us to operate. We get to choose, but we don't have to do it all in one big shift. Just little by little, own it, right? That's the key, whether it's read more, sleep more, exercise more, eat better, hang out with better people, you know, work creatively, you know, show up better, be positive. Like this is all up to us. And that's, I think, what we're learning. And that the coolest part about all of it is that you can actually see a result from doing that. And that makes it worth it. And then self-reinforcing, because the more you do it, the more you want it. And the more you realize like, oh, wow, I like that feeling. I should replicate that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we said it before, we'll say it again, either Joe or I have all the answers here, or really many of the answers. We have thoughts and opinions. And I think it's just take a look at yourself and redefine your own. What would a successful health span look like in your life? And, you know, own it, right? That's the biggest thing is
maybe even right.
Yeah. Figure out, be responsible and own your own health span, because if you're not doing it, who else is?
No, I think like the write it down is interesting, because, you know, we always say, you know, make a commitment to yourself first before you make it to anyone else. Do you like yourself? If not, what would you do about it? Write it down, look in the mirror. Am I meeting what I already had agreed to with myself? And then hold yourself accountable. Boy, it becomes very satisfying when you do that and you overcome sort of that negative momentum that could sort of somehow grab you. It's a really exciting, you know, if you think about anyone who's listening, and maybe we should all just get out and go for a walk afterwards and, you know, appreciate the moments that we have and what we can do with them, because we don't have them forever, and we might as well have as many as we can.
Yep. I think that's maybe a good spot to leave it. It's like kind of that memento mori stoic philosophy of you will die someday, and go out and do what you can to take advantage of the limited time we have left.
All right. Well, Don, we'll keep this one going over time, and enjoy. Have fun, everyone, and we'll chase tomorrow with you.